This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Well, this morning we'll be talking about the Rutherford County school system and some of the things going on within the county schools, the growth, and much more. And today our guests include Jeff McCann and also Miland Raglan Huggins. And how are you both doing this morning?
Doing good. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're great. Thanks for the opportunity.
So there is a lot happening within the county schools, of course, every year. I mean, as we grow, because we have seen exceptional growth within the county schools, and now we're at, what, 51,000 plus students?
Yeah, yes. That's correct.
It's hard to believe we've grown that size. We're one of, what, the top three or four largest now in the state?
We are. We're definitely known as a fast growth district.
And there's more choices within the county schools than there ever has been before, I guess.
There are at that. Our school board is really committed to providing parents with many options for how and where their children are to be educated.
And how do these choices work for each parent out there? Because I know everybody lives in different school zones, but there are choices. So how does that work?
And we do have many different choices available. And we're fast approaching our open enrollment application period, which opens December 1. And for about 2 months, parents can explore many of the options that are available to them in Rutherford County Schools and apply to several.
And those options include a variety of different things. And then also on top of that, we've got these new schools that are not really part of the county system, but yet they are in a sense because the county had to approve those schools coming in. What are those schools and how does that work?
You're talking about our charter schools, and charter schools basically are public schools that are authorized by the district and overseen by the district, but they have a lot of autonomy in how they operate and the curriculum they choose and how they choose to address all of their needs in their school setting. We have two such charter schools that are authorized by us at the moment. Both of them are in the north end of the county. Springs Empower Academy is located in Smyrna. They'll be adding an additional grade next year and serving kindergarten through sixth grade. And then the other charter school is American Classical Academy Rutherford, which is located in Laverne. And they will also be adding a sixth grade next year and serving students in grades kindergarten through six.
So let's say a parent lives in a district that is zoned for single high school, but they want their child to go to a different school. How do they go about asking for that? And is it automatically approved?
It's not necessarily automatically approved. They simply would apply for a zone exemption to attend one of those other schools that they choose to attend. And then we go through a process of collecting applications from everybody that's interested. And what happens is if we get more applications than available seats, we run a lottery. So and they're picked randomly. And any students that don't initially get offered a seat get put on a waiting list.
And are there some schools that are more popular than others that you always have a waiting list for?
Well, our magnet schools obviously are extremely popular due to their, their success rate. Central Magnet School in Murfreesboro is quite popular and always has a lengthy waiting list, as does TFAA, Thurman Francis Arts Academy in Smyrna, and McFadden School of Excellence in Murfreesboro.
Do you have to meet a certain grade point average in order to get accepted to, for example, Central?
Yes, there are academic qualifications for those schools. Basically, you have to submit your report cards and your test scores, and then they rank those students from the highest scores down to the lowest and offer, starting with the top, and go down until their seats are all offered.
Now, how many schools do we have now in the county system?
I think there's 51 total, and that doesn't include, I think, our two additional schools that we're adding that serve some special needs.
And then on top of all of these choices, you've also got online school, and that's a totally different version of school altogether.
That is true. The Rutherford County Virtual School serves students in a virtual setting in grades 3 through 12.
And from what I understand, that too is growing.
It is. Right now, they are full.
Talk a little bit more about how parents go about actually applying their child for one of these schools and what they have to do, because you did say there is a certain time limit, a cutoff time for them to put in that application.
That is correct. On our district webpage, under the parent tab, there is a Rutherford Choice area that parents can click on, and it will take them to the application once it is up live and running. And it will not be up live and running until that December 1 start date. And parents basically just can click on that, and they can actually access our Rutherford Choice Guide that will be on that site as well to help them navigate through the different choices that they have available. Then they simply would apply.
do the administrators, do they look at things like, you know, the past discipline problems, you know, the disciplinary problems of that student before accepting that student into that school?
Typically, no, that's not part of the equation. The only schools that have entry qualifications basically are those three magnet schools, and those are only academic.
And what are some of the biggest obstacles for parents when they're trying to get their child into a certain school?
I think sometimes transportation is a concern, because for most of these schools that have spots for students to attend that come from a different school zone, they have to provide their own transportation. So that can provide a challenge and make it difficult for them to be able to attend a certain school.
Do we have, and Malin, this may be a question more for you, I don't know, but do we have more students moving into our county attending a Rutherford County school for the first time than ever before, or are we seeing mainly students re-enrolling from right here in Rutherford County?
Well, typically we have historically added over 1,000 students new to the district every year, and that holds true this current year as well.
Wow, so we're growing by 1,000 students plus each and every year.
Absolutely.
That's crazy. I mean, I don't, looking back when I was much younger in school, I can't imagine 1,000 new students and that kind of growth, because we didn't see that kind of growth in the 80s and going into the 90s.
Yes, it's very difficult to accommodate that kind of growth, particularly when you don't receive funding for those students until really the year is over. On the back end, you don't get the funding for those students, although you have to serve them now, which Rutherford County does a great job of doing.
And with that kind of growth, the county is always having to grow new schools or build new schools, and that is something that I'm sure is talked about probably every few months.
It really is. It's a part of the conversation at many board meetings. We are scheduled to open a new elementary school in the Blackman area, Poplar Grove, which is opening next fall. And you know, on top of that, it seems like we have rezoning discussions almost on a yearly basis to have to adjust student enrollments from school to school to school.
In that location of Poplar Grove, that is the former Blackman farm that people know as the Beatty Farm.
That is.
And there is land, or there is enough land on that property, from what I hear, to build at least, what, two other schools, a middle school and possibly a high school too?
Yes, I do think that's in the works, or that's the plan eventually.
So will that be the next location of a high school or middle school?
I don't think so, necessarily. The board and Dr. Sullivan have adopted a growth plan, a five-year plan, which indicates which schools will go where. And of course, that's based on projected enrollment and growth in those areas.
And so they look at all the different areas that are growing the fastest or growing maybe not quite as fast. And that's obviously how they pick what location to build in next.
Right. In addition to Poplar Hill, that'll be opening, there are also expansions underway, soon to be completed at Smyrna High. The crews have been really moving fast on that. Of course, there's also the expansions at Oakland and Riverdale.
Now, are those expansions about finished at Oakland and Riverdale as well?
Oakland and Riverdale still have a little way to go, just because of it's the enclosure, closing in the annexes, and putting everything under one roof.
So, like, let's look at Riverdale as an example. Is that annex that was built years ago, is that going to be actually attached to the main portion of the campus?
Yes, with both of those schools, everything will be under one roof.
And does the annex, I guess, look the same at Oakland High School?
Yes, and I think in... Yes.
So all of those will be much larger, because the annex, which is a parking lot away right now, yeah, from the main building, that's going to be attached. Yeah. And for the last, what, 2-3 years, kids have had to actually walk outside to get to the annex. Well, I mean, that's been like that for years, mm-hmm, but they've had to walk around the construction, I should say, for
we officially, yes, officially broke ground last school year, and those modifications on campuses are still in place. A lot of fencing to keep people safe and out of areas they shouldn't be in, but everything's moving well.
What are the biggest problems or the biggest things that the county schools face each and every year?
It's got to be growth. I was visiting Stewartsboro Elementary the other day, stopped in and asked the secretary, you know, how things are going, how many kids they had, and she said, well, I think we're about up to, you know, 850, 860 now, and we have three more coming tomorrow. And those are just the ones that they know are coming, not the ones that, show up and say, hey, we're new here. What do we need to do to get in?
And I'm sure there's a target number that each school is looking at in order for, you know, the number of kids to teachers in the classroom. What is that approximate target number?
A typical class ratios that we try to stick with are from kindergarten through third grade is a 20-to-1 ratio. Fourth and fifth grade and sixth grade through middle school, typically it's 25-to-1. And then in high school, we can go up to 30-to-1. Those are the ratios we tend to try to stick with.
Are those set by the state, or does each school district say, well, you know, this is what we want to shoot for?
They're set by the state. The state will allow you to go five more than that in each one, but we try to stick with that, those current ratios that I just said.
So is that what we're currently at? And I'm sure you have to add new teachers every year.
Not in every case. And in some schools, it just depends. We might be slightly smaller than that, but in many schools, our ratios are a little higher than that. And it's different from grade to grade to grade.
When you look at places like Nashville, as an example, I know they're a much larger city, but are they seeing 1,000 students every year, or are they seeing much more than that or less than that?
No, typically other districts in our area are not seeing quite as much growth as we are, although they are experiencing some growth, but not necessarily in Metro Davidson County.
So is our school system bigger than Knox County, which used to be, I guess, what, number three largest?
I don't think we're quite bigger than Knox County, but we're right on borderline with passing up Hamilton County in Chattanooga.
So we are growing exceptionally fast, and that's been the case for years and years. During COVID, did we slow down in growth quite a bit?
I don't think so. Our growth pattern has been pretty consistent for the last several years.
So this upcoming school year, again, now is the time for parents to put that application in if they want their child to go to a school that is out of the zone.
That is correct.
And what are some of the main reasons that parents say, I want my child to go to, you know, fill in the blank?
They might be interested in specific programs. They might be interested in the proximity of that school, might be close to where they work. But most of the time, it's just parents seeking just a different type of program for their child.
And right now, when you look at all the county schools, is Eagleville the only one that stands as far back, I guess, from all the other schools? Because it feels like it's a rural community out there compared to Riverdale, compared to Oakland, Siegel. It really does stand out as being almost a standalone school.
Eagleville is a very unique situation. It does have a very small community feel. It is, if you look at the different grade bands, elementary, middle, and high school, it's a little smaller than most of our other comprehensive size schools, which makes it a very popular option for a lot of parents.
Will there ever be a standalone high school in somewhere like Las Casas, as an example?
I haven't heard talk of that, but that's you never know. Yeah, the way we're growing, it's quite conceivable that would happen.
It seems like Las Casas and also Walter Hill are two directions where we haven't seen as much growth, and we haven't seen that. I don't know if there hasn't been a need for new schools out there yet, but maybe there's a need coming. I don't know. But we have seen less growth out there.
Yeah, but there have been some discussion about particularly the Walter Hill area, additional buildings in that area. But there are just other areas in the district that are a little more concentrated, a little more crowded, that their needs need to be addressed first.
For several years, the county school system has requested the public let them know about any land that may be available in the Blackman area especially. But does that new elementary school that is going to be opening soon on the Beatty Farm, does that fulfill that need, and there's no longer a need for more land in Blackman?
I don't know that it ultimately fulfills the need, but it does it does provide a good chunk of land for us to build upon.
Again, with us this morning, we have Jeff McCann and also Milan Raglan Hudgens, and we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll learn more about our county school system, so just stay with us. Again, more about the county schools coming up in just a second. Time right now is 8:33.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. If you find yourself feeling stressed, come enjoy the benefits of fish in our Tranquil Aquatics Department. Studies have proven that watching aquarium fish can reduce stress and lower blood pressure. We are proud and thankful to be celebrating our 33rd year in the Murfreesboro community. That's Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro.
Hey folks, it's Mike Sparks, 49th District House member. Running for re-election, would ask for your support.
The issues Mike's championed include the First and Second Amendment tax cut bills, passing legislation to improve mental health, the Safe Storage of Firearms Act, plus he sponsored affordable housing legislation that passed this year. Mike Sparks has been outspoken on Jefferson Pike for 20 years, which led to the $70 million widening project that's almost complete. We need Mike Sparks to remain in the State House.
This Mike Sparks, ask for your vote.
Playful messages like Mike Sparks, Alicia Sparks Treasure.
CBS News Brief. The presidential candidates are ready to hunker down and wait for the results as their surrogates get out the vote this election day. Vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance just cast a ballot for Donald Trump in Cincinnati.
Look, I feel good. You never know until you know, but I feel good about this race. I felt good about my own race a couple of years ago when I voted in this exact same spot.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg stumping for Kamala Harris on CBS Mornings.
The energy is there, but we know this is going to be close. And you know, this election could come down to a couple of votes per precinct.
Voters are also deciding on who controls Congress. Measure to protect abortion rights are on the ballot in 10 states. Laura Dent with Arizona for Abortion Access.
Freedom to make our own personal decisions is a message that resonates to the left, to the right, to the center.
They're cleaning up again in northern Gaza. Palestinian health officials say an Israeli strike in Beit Lahia killed at least 20 people, among them children. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
As the final votes are cast, no one knows who will become the next president.
This is shaping up to be one of the closest presidential contests in history.
On election night, CBS News Radio will be tracking results in real time with expert analysis and live reports from across the nation.
And WGNS will have you covered on local and statewide races beginning at 7 p.m. Sponsored by Toots, Wilson Bank, McCabe Vision Center, Jennings and Ayers Funeral Home, and Ferrer Construction.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hey there, Rutherford County, it's Rick and Bubba, and we are pumped to be on WGNS.
Weekdays, 11 a.m. until 2 on News Radio WGNS.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Today is the 5th of November. It is Election Day. And with us today, we have guests from the Rutherford County School System. We have Jeff McCann and also Melinda Ragland Hudgens. And are county schools closed today because of elections?
They are closed for students. Teachers do report today, but no students.
No students today. I'm sure the students don't mind that one bit.
I'm sure they do not.
Now, with the growth in the county, is it expected to continue and is it expected to grow even more as far as that number of 1,000 new students a year? I mean, is there a forecast to say, well, we're probably going to get 2,000 students in the near future each year?
Well, if you look at historical patterns, it's been typically around that 1,000 a number, and there's no reason to believe that might increase, but there's definitely no reason to believe it would decrease at all.
But 1,000 on average per year is what we're seeing as far as growth goes. So what does that require of the county schools as far as a new school building? When do you say, all right, once we hit, let's say, 2,000 more students, once we get to that number in 2 years, that's when we build another school?
Well, I think it's just all a part of their projected five-year building plan that they're constantly reassessing. They just have to anticipate in the future what enrollment is going to look like in each different area, which is hard to do sometimes, but it's just all part of their advanced planning.
Now, another problem that I know has been discussed before is after the new school is built, usually new neighborhoods come within that area of that new school, so that presents a whole other issue.
That is true, and I think we've seen that really around many of our new schools is additional neighborhoods really come into play that continue to fill up those new schools rather quickly.
With the growing cost of housing throughout county, the Rutherford County area, then throughout Tennessee, is that, I don't know, prohibiting certain age groups from coming into our area? In other words, are we seeing more fourth graders, more fifth graders, more high schoolers? In other words, more established families coming into this area more so than kindergartners and first graders?
I don't think so. I don't think we've seen a pattern of particular age levels or grade bands that are growing more rapidly than others. It's all been pretty consistent across the board.
So it's literally everywhere.
It is.
And with that being said, what school is needed? What grade levels are needed more so than another? I mean, do we have enough elementary schools right now, or do we have enough middle schools?
Well, with the opening of the new Poplar Hill school next year, it appears that we will not have a single elementary school that will be overcrowded or beyond their capacity, let's say. So that should provide a temporary reprieve there. I do know high schools right now are really in a bind. They're going to continue to have growth and enrollment challenges for the next several years. Middle schools as well. We're going to have very few open seats available in our middle schools for next year as well. So,
are each of the schools, are they all about the same size as far as the number of students they can hold?
I think most of the ones that we build new and have in the last several years have been approximately the same size and capable of housing the same number of students. Some of our older schools, maybe not so much so. And we've seen that additions have been added to many of those to bring them up to those same enrollment numbers.
And when Rockville High School first opened, it was almost overcrowded from the very start. It had, what, around 2,000 students there?
Yes, and you saw where they immediately had to build additions onto the ends of those classroom wings, especially at the middle school, too.
And that was a big school.
Yes, very big.
So are all new county schools going to be about that size, the size of Rockville High?
I would say so, just because economically it's more efficient to build a larger high school, to one high school to accommodate more students than it would be to build numerous smaller ones.
Going back to the whole school choice program, I know there's always been the opportunity for parents to submit a request for their child to go to a school that's out of that zone for whatever they're zoned for, but the actual school choice program, that's something fairly new, isn't it?
It is, and state law really governs that now. Just a couple of years ago, state law was passed that says, you know, if you have open seats in any of your schools, you need to advertise them and put them out there as available for really anyone that lives within your district boundaries.
So how soon after the school year starts do you know we're going to have X amount of open seats here?
We base those numbers on the end of October staffing reports, which we have just received, so we're working on those numbers now.
So working on the numbers now, mm-hmm. And then you open up school enrollment, and that's open now, right? The chance for you to submit an application?
No, it will open December 1.
Okay, opens December 1, mm-hmm. And then closes at what date?
January 31st. We keep it open for 2 months. Law only requires you to keep it open for 30 days, but we like to keep it open for 60 days to give parents plenty of time.
And the application for parents to fill out, that's something that's on the county school website?
It will be. We're moving to a new application platform this year that we hope is a little more user-friendly than the one we've used the last couple of years. We've just experienced a few frustrations with that old platform, so we're moving to a new one that should make the process even smoother. And it should be up and running by that December 1 deadline.
A lot's changed in the school systems really all across the country over the last few years, especially after COVID. But what are the biggest changes you've seen?
Since COVID itself, I just think getting students back up to speed curriculum-wise and fill in those gaps that may have resulted from all the distance learning that took place during that COVID period.
Are students that far behind, or were they that far behind?
They did lose some ground, it appeared. Not so much so in Rutherford County because we were so strong in our virtual platforms. But there were definitely some gaps that have had to have been filled in. But I think we've reached that point where we've done that.
I know a lot of kids had to stay at home a little bit longer throughout that COVID period because some of them got sick or some of them were already facing medical challenges and their parents didn't want to risk them going back too early and getting sick all over again. Did you see some, I don't know, maybe there's a certain number of students who remained homeschool or that homeschool status after COVID who continued to be homeschooled today?
I think that number has come back down. I think more students are returning to the classroom setting itself.
So it's almost, or it sounds like it could possibly be totally back to normal.
It's getting there. Mm-hmm. I think so.
And then, I guess, what are some of the other things that parents should know about as we go through this school year, and what should we know about the upcoming school year?
Oh, just the fact that there are plenty of options out there, and as our like we said, our school board is adamant about providing plenty of choice for parents, and there could be more charter schools even on the horizon. That application window opens up the 1st of February for those that want to start a charter school in our district. And so we'll be exploring those additional options as well coming up soon.
Do the charter schools take away anything from the actual county school system?
Well, all the funding that goes from both the state portion and the local portion of funds goes with those students. So whatever funding is allotted to those students, typically, which would normally maybe be through our school budget, would go with them to the charter school.
And about how much today does the state actually fund the county school system per student?
It's a little over $7,000, about $7,500. The total price tag for state and local funds for those students is about $10,400 today. Now, that typically changes from year to year to year, but not a whole lot.
Is the underlying reality of it, that's money that's already generated in Rutherford County. It just goes through the state, then comes back to Rutherford County into the schools.
Well, no. The local portion of the funding is generated in Rutherford County, but that state portion comes from state revenues.
And then when it comes to that cost of building a new school, I know costs have risen greatly for construction. Is that something that the county school system has to fund completely, or are they getting bonds usually in order to pay for that growth for that new school they're building?
Technically, I couldn't speak to the full process for that, but I do know that the burden of cost for building up new schools falls on the county itself. Whether they go through the bond process or not just depends on available funds.
And then as the county grows and we see more private schools in the future, we already have a decent handful of private schools. Does that take away also from the county school system, other than the fact that obviously that money that would be for the state goes with that child? Or not necessarily doesn't go with that child, but it doesn't go anywhere.
That is correct. In a private school setting, that funding does not go with him right now, although vouchers could change that process. But otherwise, that funding just is never received.
So going again back to that school choice program, right now parents can submit a request. Well, not right now, but starting December 1st, they can submit a request through that application process for their child to go to a school that's out of their zone. But then if they wanted their child to go to a charter school, that's a totally different process.
Actually, our charter school's enrollment process works through that same platform. They partner with us, and we're using the same platform, run the same lotteries. The difference is they actually keep their enrollment period open year-round. So they have the ability to fill any open seats that they might get really any time throughout the year.
Now, do you have that many students who do change mid-school year, from one school to another?
Typically, no, but the charter school option is one that provides that capability. It goes both ways. We receive students back from the charters mid-year as well as send students to charters in the middle of the year.
Are there certain questions that parents ask more so than others that they're curious about or maybe need help with?
Initially, with the opening of the charter schools, a lot of parents just wanted to know exactly what a charter school was and why are they different? What things do they offer differently? The questions nowadays are more about what choices do I have?
And what are the biggest differences with those charter schools versus a regular county school?
Really, the main thing is that in their approach to instruction and their approach to the curriculum that they use and their curricular focus. Now, they still have to teach Tennessee state standards, but they can go about it in a little bit different way. They can allot their staff a little bit differently and just utilize the resources that they have that public schools may have different resources.
Now, what I thought was wild whenever we first started talking about charter schools in Rutherford County, the county school superintendent, the director, they're still, in a sense, over making sure they stay on par with whatever's being taught and the grades are kept at a certain level. Even though they're not directly involved in day-to-day activities, they're still responsible to make sure that every child does get that same education.
That is correct, and that's actually my job as the charter school coordinator, is to monitor the performance of our charter schools to ensure that they are meeting those same accountability standards that traditional public schools are held accountable to by the state.
So how do you do that when you're not at that charter school each and every day?
It's a challenge. It's a challenge, and a bigger part of that challenge is to balance the administrative burden I place on those schools so that they still have the freedom to run how they feel like they need to run, but yet monitor their performance. So it's based on site visits. It's based on a gathering of data. They have monthly things they have to report to me that I track. And so that's really how I stay on top of their performance.
And have you had to physically go to any of these schools to say, you know, this is an area we need to focus on a little bit more?
Well, not that I've had to. I do like to make it a point to visit those schools because I think it's important to maintain that physical contact and that relationship between them and the county. I'm sort of the go-between there, so it's important for me just to be there to see what things are happening.
And how have you seen the progress so far? What have you seen taking place?
Well, for our two charter schools, authorized charter schools, it's been a very positive experience. The relationships are strong between us and those schools. I see a lot of positive things. Parents seem very, very happy. Students seem happy and well-adjusted in those schools as well.
Is that a tough task in overseeing that?
It's not easy. It's something that's new to us in Rutherford County since these are our first two charter schools that just opened. It's new to me in this role too, since I'm new to that setting as well, you know, after spending 20 plus years as a principal myself. Yes, it's been a challenge.
What have you enjoyed most about being in education?
The kids. You know, clearly I love kids. I love being around them. I love seeing the things that they do. Particularly in my last setting as principal, Thurman Francis Arts Academy, really seeing some of the amazing talents and abilities that our kids have at such a young age.
And you're at an age where you've been in the school system long enough to where you're seeing the kids of some of the kids, you were a part of their lives.
Absolutely. This is my 38th year, and I've had many, many kids of students come through.
And probably grandkids.
Which is great.
Mm-hmm. What is the biggest compliment that makes your day?
Well, I used to love it when, you know, kids would just come up and talk to me and feel comfortable enough to come talk to the principal and have a conversation. That used to just make my day.
I have a story about Mr. McCann.
Oh, no.
Both of my children actually went to Thurman Francis under him. And one day, my daughter came home. She was in the band. And she said, Mr. McCann brought his trumpet, and he played with us during band class, which I thought was really neat. And it spoke to the kind of leader he is.
That's pretty cool.
I used to love to do that, yeah.
So did you play trumpet in high school as well?
I sure did.
What about college?
I did. I was actually a band director myself for about 15 years before I became an administrator.
So what made you want to go into the county schools and then ultimately become a principal?
Well, you know, when I first started teaching, I thought I never really had any desire to become an administrator or a principal. But and I taught at several different schools. But in my last one, I really started to develop a strong relationship with the administration at that school, and they started giving me some more responsibilities to help out in the office and to take over for them when they were out sick, things like that. And I found I really enjoyed that part of it because I actually got to interact with even more students, more families than I did just in that smaller band setting.
Do we have a lack of teachers today? Is it hard for schools to bring on enough teachers each year?
That has become a huge challenge for in education right now.
And that's everywhere, not just Rutherford County.
That is everywhere.
How are we going about actually, you know, standing out to hire more teachers?
Well, I think we've created more pathways for folks to earn their teaching credentials than used to be. You no longer have to go necessarily to a four-year institution. We have a lot of teacher support programs now where you can earn that teacher credential while you're working.
And that's a pretty cool thing. You've got some folks who maybe they retired early from the banking industry and they come into the county schools. And that's something that was not an opportunity years before.
Well, that is correct. We see that a lot now.
And is there a certain, I don't know, maybe it's bankers, maybe it's those who are doing something like at Nissan engineers or something, are you seeing any certain people come more so than others who want to be teachers?
I don't think so, not from any particular professions. I think we just see more people who want to have an impact on children's lives.
And that, I guess, may have been something a lot of folks wanted to do all along, but the salary wasn't something that they were quite excited about when they first graduated college.
Right. They may not have felt like, you know, that was something that they could afford to do.
So that may be something that comes 20, 30 years down the road.
That is correct. Then when they find out there, sometimes there are more important things than money.
Yeah. What would you tell somebody out there listening who thought about being a teacher or maybe is thinking about the idea of becoming a teacher?
I'd say we need you. Give it a shot.
And do they apply at the main county office, or if they learn about an opening at a certain school, do they apply at that school? How do they do that?
Typically, applications run through our district office, through the Human Resources Department.
All right. And then as we close this morning, one more time, touch base on that choice program and how parents go about actually submitting an application for their child to go to a school that's out of their zone.
Right. Just a reminder that our open enrollment period begins December 1 and ends January 31st. Applications will be online totally, and they can be accessed via our, under the parent link on our district webpage, under Rutherford Choice.
And Melinda, is there anything you want to add? I know I haven't let you talk a whole lot.
For anyone who may be new to education or considering making a career change, Janet Flannery at Central Office handles all of our new teacher recruitment efforts. Her information is on the website, but there are a host of programs that are available to those who want to become educators. And even if once you're in the system, she's constantly sending out information if you want to go even further with your career. How to do that and how to do it at a discount sometimes.
Sounds good. Well, thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Again, we've been talking about the Rutherford County Schools, and you can find them online. And probably the easiest thing, just to search Rutherford County Schools, Tennessee.
rcschools.net.
And parents can always email me directly at choice@rcschools.net with questions they have about our open enrollment period.
Sounds good. Can they also ask questions about the charter schools and all that?
They sure can. They certainly can.
Perfect. Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Right now that time, 8:57.
Stay with us. A check on the weather and traffic. And then after that, we'll take a look at local news in just a second. Stay with us. You're tuned to WGNS Murfreesboro.